Hello, hello, hello. It's Connor. You guys, I am so excited for you all to hear today's podcast with Justin Cooley, Tony nominee from Kimberly Akimbo. Say that. He's currently starring in the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee at New World Stages. You're going to love him. You're going to love this conversation so much. Before we get into the show, I want to tell you that in addition to these weekly episodes where Dylan and I chat with the stars, we also have bonus episodes on patreon.com/thedramapodcast. We call it Drama Plus because you get the drama you know and love, plus more, plus bonus episodes, plus getting added to our close friends on Instagram. What could be better than supporting your favorite twins and getting extra drama every single week? I mean, come on. So head to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, become a member of Drama Plus for $5, and enjoy all the extra drama in your life, the good kind. All right, time for the show.
Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet.
Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama. Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, we talk about it all the time, about your years of when you were working on the advertising team for Kimberly Akimbo.
Oh, yes.
But I do want to wax poetic briefly because we've wanted this guest today for a while, I have to just say. But, you know, booked and blessed during the Akimbo period. A memory just came to mind. You know, we've been doing this podcast a long time. And I remember when we recorded with Humble Brag Aaron Tveit, and it was like right after he saw Kimberly Akimbo.
That's right. He was raving about it. He was. He loved it.
Yes. And he had the same agent or manager as our guest today. And so they met. I don't know if they're still representing the same people.
Okay, period. We're getting confirmation from Drama headquarters that yes, they have. Okay.
Same representation. Yep. And Aaron was saying how it was such a nostalgic experience for him to be at the Booth Theater, you know, sitting and looking up and remembering when he was there Next to Normal. And then Kimberly Akimbo, another small musical with a lot of heart, being in that theater. And I'm so gagged that we're finally chatting with Justin today.
Wait, I'm so happy that you brought up that story because I loved hearing that from Aaron. And now here we have the other good kid from the Booth Theater.
Oh.
God, Next to Normal is so good.
I've been listening to the West End recording that just came out.
Do you love?
Casey Levy, I'm afraid she's never left a crumb in her life.
Oh. Cleared.
Every time. It's so good. I encourage you to listen to the finale and then okay. We can jump in with this guest.
Well, yeah. I was waiting to listen to it until I watched the film version, but it is so hard for me to sit down and watch a filmed version of a musical.
That's fair.
Like if I went to the movies to watch it, one thing, but at home, it's hard for me. I don't know.
Like
why.
A anyway. Fathom Events.
A Fathom Events, literally. Yeah. Oh my God. Anyway, Dylan, I'm really excited. I got to see him in the show he's currently starring in, so I cannot wait to get into all of that and more.
So jealous.
I'll read him on in. So, y'all, our guest today is a Tony Award-nominated actor currently starring as Leif Conybeare in the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, off-Broadway at New World Stages. He burst onto the scene in his critically acclaimed Broadway debut as Seth Wheatus in Kimberly Akimbo, for which he was nominated for the Tony, Drama Desk, Outer Critics Circle, and Lucille Lortel Awards. He also received an AEA Clarence Derwent Award, a Theatre World Award, and the Clive Barnes Award in recognition of his unforgettable performance, which he reprised on tour last year. This Kansas City native was also a finalist at the 2021 National High School Jimmy Awards. We are truly delighted to have this good kid and expert speller on the pod today. Please welcome to Drama,
Justin Cooley.
You hello, and can I get that little snippet from my bio? My goodness, you read it all off. I'm like, I did that.
Not bad.
I have to confess, Justin, I almost included some of the high school hits that were listed. I don't know if it was on your Wikipedia or if it was on some article, but I was like,
listed where? No,
you were gonna call them, we'll make sure they're removed from the internet forever.
Oh, that's funny. Thank you guys so much for having me. And I didn't know that. You guys had Aaron, and he said those things about Kimberly Akimbo.
Yes, and you.
That is so sweet. Oh, my goodness.
Are you an Aaron Tveit fan?
Of course. Of course.
That night that he came and saw Akimbo, do you remember meeting him?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I rode the taxi home with him, and my manager, and I was losing my mind because I was like, it's time to be like a professional actor, and this is a colleague.
Right.
Don't overdo it.
That is so crazy. How old were you again in Akimbo?
I was 19 when it started.
19. Wow.
18 off Broadway. That's
Young. One of the
amazing.
youngest ages you can be.
No, literally, I was like 18 and a week when I first got my audition for Kimberly Akimbo.
Oh my God. Wait, that's crazy. Okay,
I
we will
know,
get into
right?
all of that. We will get into all of that, but I do want to ask you, Justin, are you well?
Oh, people must love this question, huh? Are we well? What a complicated question. But I think I'm happy with my job, and I'm happy with what I'm doing and working on and inspiring to. And that's all I can ask for. The world is a crazy place right now. Sincerely, every day. It's too cold outside. But I'd say I'm well, all things considered.
I'm glad. Is it like a double-edged sword to have to like leave home in the evening during these cold, cold winter days and weekends? Because I literally have been a hermit since early January. I don't want to do anything, go anywhere. So the idea of having to like go to work, but at night is crazy to me.
It's vile a little bit. It's a little bit cruel. It's just the way that the sun is down and your body is always like, it is actually not time to move in the slightest. It is not time. It is time to make some soup and then go to sleep. And here I am starting my work day.
Crazy. That's crazy. So I loved Spelling Bee. Congratulations.
Thank you
You were
so
so amazing.
much.
I mean, I saw Kimberly Akimbo so many times when I saw it at the Atlantic, I saw it on Broadway because I, worked on the advertising team at the time. And seeing your performance grow through those years was amazing. But then to get to see you to do this, again, playing another student, playing another kid, but the layers and the different tools in your toolbox that I got to see you do in Spelling Bee was so delightful, Justin. I was like, no, he is the star we knew he was and is. Like,
Really?
so good. You're so funny in a
You
different way than
detected
you were
that?
in Kimberly. Yes.
That is so sweet. Thank
Absolutely.
you. Yeah, it definitely it feels different, it's the second one. You know what I mean? I've been saying that. Like the first one is its own thing, of course. I'm like learning what it is to be in equity, to be a working adult, to be a professional actor, all those things. And then the second one, it's like, how much of that stuck? That was how I felt a lot at the beginning of this process. And what does it mean to be going up against yourself? The thing that you did before, what are you bringing now? What do you want people to be seeing this time around? Before you've really established, any sort of legacy, it's just like, what's going to happen next? So it's been really nice to dive into that, and was scary and exciting, and I think it's going pretty well as of now.
I love it. See, I had never seen Spelling Bee before. For being as much of a theater kid as I am, and obviously knowing about the original Broadway production and how legendary that was and how it lives on regionally and everywhere in the last, I mean, it's when did the first one happen? Like 20 years ago? I mean, it's been everywhere. So it was really fun to see it for the first time in New York with this cast of stars. All of you are so dynamic. And to finally get to experience like what a guest speller is. Like I'd heard rumors of a guest speller, then you go and you're like, oh, like it's literally an audience member. Like this is so fun. And do you know, like, does Spelling Bee always update no matter when it's happening? Like if it's in 2005, 2015, or 2025, do they tend to update the script always? Or I don't know if that question makes much sense, because it felt like it was written today.
It's so weird. I never did it in high school, actually. Obviously, I actually never even saw it until I got offered the role. So I don't have the hugest history with it, but us doing it now, I mean, it's crazy to think that this is like the first revival in New York. Like it just has such a legacy at this point. You just think it would be revived like every 6 years, So in terms of like modernizing, I mean, it's been 20 years since it was actually like directed and put up in New York. So obviously there are a lot of differences. I think that for our production, compared to others, it was particularly leaned into, which I think was really fun because I think there's like such a different context of having a cast of people who like grew up with it or maybe did it or saw productions of it compared to the cast of people who made it. That's such a different mentality going in. And I think even fans coming, I mean, everyone, we have so many fans every day who have done the show, who have been inside of your characters. It's really delightful. And so we wanted to bring like to the people now, like for a new generation, as if this were being made today, you know, kids who maybe haven't experienced it, like this is something that should keep going and iterating forever. So I think a lot of our like costumes and a lot of our vibes and a lot of the diversity just really like screams something about 2025, like elementary schoolers. And yeah, I think it's a really fun way to do it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your character.
Yeah, so I play Leaf, and he's a very special kid. He's at the spelling bee. One of the six main contestants, and he is one who, in particular, does not quite seem like he should be there. He's not exactly the most intellectual, he's not exactly the most competitive, but what he does have is a lot of spirit and a lot of optimism and a lot of goofiness and fun flair. And, you know, I think he's the kind of the representative of all the underdogs, all the weird kids. Well, they're all weird kids. All of the underestimated kids, all the kids that are a little bit in a world of their own. That looking at them from the outside, you might not think much is going on, but get in there and it's quite robust. That was 100% how I felt as a kid. I find him very relatable. Just that kind of thing of like when a child is so flighty and like a kind of an ADHD monster, and you're like, you know, are they not very smart, or are they beyond actually? And Leaf is one of those that's his mind is just in the galaxy.
Yeah, I got the vibe from him. I was like, he probably is going to be on ADHD
For
meds at
sure. And once he gets there, he will be able to exist in the capitalist modern world a little bit easier, but he shall never lose that special little sparkle. That's what my therapist tells me.
He's like a little hippie.
Totally. Yeah. From like a little like hippie, I imagine he's from like a family that's like a little bit of a commune. You know what I mean? Like, do they like sell shroom chocolate? Very, very likely. Yeah.
They should sell that in the spelling bee during the snack
Yes,
moment.
you're right. Like the Coney Bear chocolates.
Yeah, that'd be
Well, his
good.
name is Leap, so it makes total sense that he might be from like a commune family, you know? Exactly.
That's adorable. Okay, so you mentioned that you were sort of like that as a kid. I was gonna ask you how you sort of tap into this personality of Leaf. Like, are you the sort of performer actor that really prepares in that way?
Yeah, I think I am. I think, you know, I tried to identify like what is the core of this kid and me. Really, I actually started behaviorally. I just was thinking about all of the weird ass shit you see kids do, like when they have no sense of shame and are struggling with their impulse control. And I just started doing stuff like that. And I think slowly that just formed an image of a kid that like laughs a little bit too loud and then covers his mouth and like is always talking to himself and always like moving a little bit. And the more I did that, I was like, oh, this actually is muscle memory. I was like, I'm actually not acting right now. This is my decades old impulses coming back out.
I'm sure that's sort of freeing.
It absolutely is. I mean, honestly, I feel like Leaf is like the version of me in an alternate universe where I like never learned socialization and I like never learned to like keep it in. Like I just like kept letting it, you know, explode and burst out and like never got scolded at school. Like this is what that kid would be like.
It low key sounds like you're healing your inner child while acting in the spelling bee.
I think I certainly am. Yeah, I feel unmasked in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is such a gift of the show, I think, for all of us around the board, because we talked about like what it's like to jump into a child, and like how to take that seriously, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of our ways in was like, how do we like bring back the parts of ourselves that we didn't have our adult minds to like appreciate back then?
Wow.
That is so, that gives me chills.
Now that you say that, watching the show, I never for one second questioned the sincerity behind any performance. You all just, I rooted for everyone in their different ways, you know? So
Yeah.
good.
It's so weird, you know. I mean, yeah, I think like a lot of our characters, when you think about kids, it's kind of just like that little like non-corporate version of yourself, really. It's just
Yeah.
like kind of your id monster or whatever. And doing that in your life is so strange. Like I don't know, actors talk about this sort of thing, but I find myself like doing his gesticulations and like being just generally like more impulsive and like bubbly in my everyday life. And it's kind of weird. I'm like, are you acting like a child? But I'm like, or is that child just me that I put away long ago? You know what I mean?
Oh, that's so
Wow.
interesting. You're the second person we've had on the podcast recently to talk about how what you're doing every night on stage really does trickle into your wants and needs off stage.
I didn't know this about myself as an actor until I started working professionally, but this happened in my last show too. Like, people in my life will just like catch me speaking and be like, "Why did you sound like Seth? Why do you sound like Lee?"
Well,
Yeah.
I don't know you outside of this. So I have to say, the bubbly energy that you brought to the podcast is super endearing and lovely. And I wouldn't
Oh.
have known one way or another if it was a something you learned or remembered from Lee for yourself or not.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, the chicken or the egg. I guess they just did good casting.
They definitely did.
Very good casting.
The cast across the board, by the way, is amazing. It's some of my favorite performers. I mean, put Lily Cooper in anything, and I will be absolutely there.
Yes.
Wait, she sounds incredible in the show. I'm like, wait, was she born to sing this role? Like,
Yeah,
hello?
and it is not easy. She is so impressive. Everyone is. And everyone just brings such a distinct identity to it. And it's so funny because this is one of those shows that's like so successful across the nation because it allows for a lot of individuality. You know, when you read the script, like of course you can tell Leaf is funny, but like you don't know. It's not prescribing exactly to you who this person is. But I think about Lily and like her dryness and like her sardonic tone is so funny in this role, and there's something about the wig that like brings forth the humor even more.
Yes, the wig is part of the acting for sure.
It's everything, and she loves
Yeah.
it, you know. And we have so much time, like secretly, I don't know if I should say this, to talk to each other on stage, off mic, in character, and like oh my God, all the time. Probably too much, especially me. I am always saying some stuff that everyone is like, Justin, keep it down, do your lines.
I was thinking about the on stage time while watching it. I would hate to be in a show where they're like, no, you have to watch this every single performance. I
It
would just
is
get.
crazy. It is crazy. It's
Yeah.
unlike anything I've ever done. I mean, a weird thing, like the whole show takes place like in the 2 hours that we're on stage. You know, like in a normal musical, you like go off stage and you change and you like become yourself for a second and then you have to like redo it. Like, no, I sit down and I just have to talk to myself in that character voice the entire time to stay there.
Yeah.
It is such a crazy exercise. But I think it leads to making the performance part of it really natural. Because I kind of just set into a mode and I stay there.
Yeah. Do you find
Yeah.
you're more tired after the show because you're just so in the zone for those 2
Yeah.
hours?
It
Yeah.
can be exhausting. I am constantly thinking. I mean, you know, it's part of my technique, but like there's a lot of like sometimes the stage managers and the A1 pull like little audio clips of my mic or like video clips zoomed in on me. And there's the craziest stuff that I am doing in the background. Like I'll be like looking at someone, I'll be like, he looks like my uncle. You know, it'd be like, I'll be like, oh my gosh, auntie, why are you here? Is that Santa Claus? Like there's just always something going on. And it can be, it's a lot of energy. Yeah.
Sounds like you're having fun.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of fun. It's, you know, it's also especially one of those jobs that I'm like, I can't believe this is my job. You know what I mean? I just get to like come up here and frolic for 2 hours. The like 10-year-old frolicking does something to my body. It's a little bit exhausting. That's the exhausting part. Yeah.
And people are going to be able to see it through September now, which is just so exciting because yeah. It was originally like a rather short run.
Mm-hmm.
At least that was the public facing plan. It's so exciting.
Of course. And it keeps getting, you know, pushed and pushed, and it's doing well and people are loving it. And that is always amazing to feel.
I'm sure everyone has asked you this, but who's your dream guest speller?
Twergy. I just think that would be sickening.
She's known to spell.
She's known to spell. Well, remember when Trisha Paytas was in Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
You have no idea how much I was asking every producer, you guys have to get Trisha in here. It yes. would just be truly insane.
Oh, I'm surprised it didn't happen. I feel like she'd be so down for that.
I know. I know. There's a lot of guest spellers that I think would be, you know, we've still got time.
And there have been true celebrity cameos throughout the run so far.
Oh, yes.
Anyone that you were like, oh my God, gagged.
Yeah, yeah. Meeting other people in this way, you know, is like so beautiful because we're getting to see like other actors and artists like submerge in our art. And they're always so kind afterwards. Daniel Radcliffe was just literally the kindest man. And like everyone says that. Like everyone is just like, oh, he's so sweet. And you're kind of like, okay, we'll see about that. And then he was. And then he was actually really, really great. But yeah, Michael Urie came. He was the sweetest. So many people. And counting.
And counting, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about what you've got going on now. And we were talking about you as a kid, generally tapping into that part of yourself. And a question we ask all of our guests on our podcast is about this Ring of Keys moment. We think about it, you know, it's from the musical Fun Home originally, but we like to take it as a moment of identification that you may have had within the performing arts where you saw something that you identified with and you thought, oh my God, I feel like I need to be a part of this. I need to jump in, dive into the ocean,
yeah,
and take a swim. I don't even know what I'm saying. But do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment?
It is so funny that you made those metaphors because my first favorite musical. So I like really didn't unlock musicals specifically or theater until I was like in middle school, late middle school, high school even. And it started with like the movie musicals of the 2010s. I remember I watched Into the Woods, which is so funny because whenever I talk about that movie with like anyone older, everyone is like, blah, 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 barf, but I thought Meryl Streep was sensational. And I totally wanted to be Jack in A Little Secret in my heart. But then, like, the first playlist I remember listening to was Little Mermaid. And Flounder just became a dream role, something I jumped onto so quickly.
Oh my God, it wasn't Ariel or Ursula, it was Flounder?
Yes, I know. I guess I'm like a little boy. I don't know.
Wait, are we talking precious? Are we talking like the Broadway version where he sings that
she's in love?
Yeah. Okay. I feel you now. I was thinking Disney film, but
no, the Broadway version. Yeah, that song.
That song's a banger.
I was like, this is my destiny. And my high school did end up doing Little Mermaid my sophomore year, and I was sea creature number two. I was not Flounder, so.
Wow, that setup was amazing. I'm devastated, though. A dream deferred, though. You never know. You never
know. Yeah, you never know. You never know. You know, I, there was always something in me that, like, resonated with the arts and music. I was, like, in choir for a long time. You know, my parents always tried to get me into acting, but I actually was, like, such a severely shy kid when it came to stuff like that. I didn't like pressure being on me, and like I had like a little bit of like a stage fright thing going on. But you know, apart from the Ring of Keys moment, I don't know if this is necessarily something where I felt seen, but it was something where I kind of felt my heart resonating in a way with like you know what the actual core of acting and maybe art and the way it affects people is I saw Fun Home in Kansas, a professional production my junior year of high school, and that was when like that was the one that changed everything. Like I was like, I can't not do this.
My goodness, what was it about Fun Home? I mean, it's obviously perfect and brilliant.
I mean, just you know, even at a young age, I'm a Cancer, you know, I'm a water sign. So there's something that's always been like deeply moody and sad, you know? And just like, like, oh my God, like how dramatic is this? Like art like gives voice to like the storms that we all have going on inside, you know, and that like most people don't see a lot of the time, and that most people aren't actually dying to share. And Fun Home is just a show about like relatively normal people just going through like devastating circumstances and seeing that transformed into music. Like, I mean, that's what Kimberly Akimbo is about in a way. I mean, that's really like my wheelhouse when it comes to musicals. It's what really touches me. And so that experience like woke me up to like this is something that really makes me feel alive.
Wow, that is so beautiful. Did you ever get a chance to tell Janine Tesori this?
Yes, I did. I did. I was scared for a while. It probably like took me to a year, like a year to confess. But yeah, I mean, talk about like, you know, crazy, crazy stars aligning. The fact that my first show ended up being a Janine Tesori show. And I remember at my callback, we're like in the waiting room and they like went on break, like right before I went in, and she herself sat next to me. And was like, hey, like we remember like your tape. Like, how are you feeling? Like, how's New York? And you know, when you're like out in middle America, you like know these names and you know these, but you also don't know anything. So I kind of was like, who is this woman? But she has an aura that is unlike any human being. This must be someone special. And then I like ducked low and did a little Google search. It's like, oh yeah.
That's
Wow.
amazing. Wow. And she was watching. That was part of your audition, too.
Yeah, I guess so. Well.
Well, I absolutely loved your performance in Kimberly Akimbo. I know that we've been kind of dancing around it this whole time, but you were just so brilliant. You mentioned the voice that you would slip that you sometimes slipped into outside of playing Seth, but I am obsessed with the voice that you used. Just your whole characterization from the moment you walk out on stage, it was one of the most memorable performances in the last decade that I can think of, seriously.
Oh my gosh, that is so kind.
What did you learn from Seth?
Oh, I mean, I learned everything from that experience. It truly was something that, you know, changed the trajectory of my life. And as a person, I mean, I learned the most from Victoria Clark herself, I think. You know, I think a lot of that experience kind of goes through the lens of being with her and working through her. She taught me so much and constantly reassured me. And there also was just like being next to a talent like that. And I think being open to it, you know, I think the first thing of it was like breaking down that boundary of like feeling like I had so much to prove, or like there was some type of like star Broadway student, you know, 18-year-old breakout I needed to be. That was terrifying at first. But I remember like kind of my director said this once, like in like a private meeting when I was kind of like struggling in the beginning of the process, and Vicky said that, and she was just like, you do not need to be anything but yourself. And that is like so cliche, and at the time I was like, girl, what if myself is untalented? I was like, I can't do that. But like actually you can, in a way. What people want to see is heart. And I think that's like what I try to bring, and that's what I bring to Leaf, and like that is my plan here on out, like as an actor. I think the biggest thing of that was like bringing things that I actually find embarrassing or that I found too vulnerable or shameful or like gave me trouble in the past. All of those things are what we're there to do, because people actually want to see that so they can see themselves, you know? Someone needs to do it. And I enjoy being one of those people.
Wow, that's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Now, you went back to Kimberly Akimbo after it closed on Broadway to do it on tour. What cities were you in during that?
I debuted in Las Vegas. Party,
Ooh,
party. That was a fun
yes.
time. And then I went to Omaha, Nebraska, which was crazy because that is 3 hours from my hometown. So my parents got to come and like a bunch of friends and people who could never make it out to New York. And then I ended up going on a little Midwestern tour. I went to Pittsburgh, I went to Cincinnati, I went to Detroit. It was such a fun time. It was so weird.
Yeah.
You know, there's like my entry point into each job has been so different. When I first did Kimberly, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, there's no way I could know what I'm doing. Like, this is horrifying. I don't even know if I can act. I don't know if I can do this character. And then I got on tour, and it was a fun moment of like, oh, like I originated this role. Like, I actually do know how to do this. I'm the one who did it originally. You know, it's been those tiny lessons of finding my confidence and individuality as an artist. It's so weird. Like, it's weird, like saying that I'm like a professional artist. That's like so strange. 'Cause fully, I was in a high school. Like, I had no idea what I was or what I was gonna end up. So. You know, I mean, there's still time. I could end up as like a librarian and like that might be fierce, you
That'd be cool.
know?
That would be really cool. Speaking of librarians, my favorite scene in Kimberly Akimbo. Well, I mean, I have like seven favorite scenes, but one that I'm thinking about, and I was thinking about in talking to you today, is the scene in Act Two when they're playing Uno and they do Skater Planet Reprise, and they're all talking about like their futures and like how tough things are in New Jersey and how they're gonna make it out. And then Kimberly is like realizing that moment, well, this is the end for me or whatever. Oh my God, even just talking about that scene makes me want to start sobbing. But that is beautiful. For me, that was like what the whole show was about.
Oh wow. You know, it's funny. My dad thinks the same thing. So you and him, he loves that
We're
scene.
linked up. Yeah, it's so
Yeah.
good. It's so good. It makes you lock back into perspective.
Right. Yeah, that whole show is so heavy and like a lot to burden with for all of us. Like the way that like Vicky was actually thinking, you know, about her life and how she's much older than us, and us thinking about that sort of thing. It was crazy, you know. It's funny just thinking about Spelling Bee. There's so many different types of projects one will like broach upon their career, and there's something beautiful that I'm experiencing for the first time, like not being in a show that makes me want to cry and die every night, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, I hope to be back and forth and in between forever. And it's so interesting bringing this sort of thing to people where people just leave the show kind of like, I'm so happy and I'm so glad that you made me laugh and I really needed that. And that's really nice because, you know, I'm used to, you know, looking out into the audience and seeing everyone sobbing and being like, yes. Yeah.
Both
Oh my
are such
goodness.
valuable gifts, you know, to
Clearly,
give
they are.
people. Yeah. I need you to do a version of Father Time on like in a cabaret or perhaps like a studio
How did you
recording.
know that that is my dream and what I
Really?
do one day? Yes, that is the best song. That is my favorite song in Kimberly.
Oh, me too. Me too. I cry every time. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So good. So good. You know, you got nominated for a Tony, Justin, which is no small thing. And you mentioned that you came into the world of theater maybe a little bit later in your life. What was that experience like, though, nomination morning? And maybe how do you think about it now, looking back?
That was when I signed up for a therapist. No,
Okay.
it was really, it was incredible. Of course, the pressure and the imposter syndrome were deafening. Of course, I mean, like, again, I was like a random kid in Kansas a year before that. It was insane. But yeah, it was it. You know, there's part of me that couldn't even take ownership over it, and I still kind of feel that way. I mean, I have it, but like just the way I went into that and how hard I was working and how quickly I kind of had to transform to, at least in my eyes, to become an actor on that caliber. It is such an honor, and I like am so grateful that I had that experience so early and that I get to carry that for the rest of my life. Because I got so many fun experiences, so many like educational experiences, and I got so much love for that too, I mean, what an honor for like people at the stage door to be like, you're gonna get a Tony nomination, you're gonna get a Tony nomination. But I mean, of course, at that time, I think people in different parts of their career, like everyone, wants to stay humble. But for me, I was like, literally, do not say that. I was like, literally, I cannot even process that right now. There's no way I'm gonna get a Tony nomination. But it happened, and all I could do is roll with it and try to come around these days to just being proud of what I did. And I think I'm closer to that, every day.
Were you nervous at the actual award ceremony?
Literally, I was like astral projecting and watching my body. Like it was insane. That night was so fun, but it was so weird. I couldn't even legally drink, you know what I mean? I was like, all these people, I was like, they are taking the edge off and I cannot. Yeah, it was crazy, but it was also so special. I remember my dad is like, a little farm boy from Mississippi, to like, talk about my life and the lineage of it. And he just was like, I never thought I would ever be in a room like this ever in my entire life. And when I had you, I had no idea that you could bring me here. And it just was like, yeah, it's incredible. Most people don't get to be there.
Oh my gosh, your dad is awesome. Shout out to your dad too. That was one of my favorite theater seasons in the last couple of years. I loved every single new musical
Ah,
and
and Shucked, amazing.
Shucked. Yeah, so
So
that was so it was like
funny.
Alex Newell was the one who took it home that night in your
Yeah,
category,
yeah.
right? Okay.
Which was, I mean, what an honor to lose to Alex Newell.
True.
Yeah, true.
True.
Were you surprised at how the Broadway community was? Like when you come in, it was like the 18, 19-year-old kid, and you're like doing a show 8 times a week, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, like people like mix and mingle, and there's these awards things, and people are friends from that show, and sometimes they bowl, and all these different things. Were you surprised?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I mean, I guess it's hard to even imagine it, like being from Kansas and like not actually not having no actors in my family. So I don't know what I was expecting, but it was so crazy. Of course, like meeting the people that I've listened to for years and just being like, I thought that I would go my entire life never existing inside of these people's mind, And now these people know me, they're my friends, and like even like before that, it was just like them coming to my show was crazy. And it's also, I think it really is such a production. There's so much that goes into being an actor. Like you find out like actors have relationships with physical therapists, and Schmackery sends us cookies and we get coffee out. Like it is such a world that a lot of people are like invested in, and it's a really great thing to be a part of.
And you're going to be part of it for a long, long time, Justin. I know it. Well, we are sadly having to say goodbye to you soon. But before we do that, we'd like to end with a dose of drama. Just leave the listeners with something that maybe is on your mind, something that you're loving right now, something you just want to rant about or rave about. Connor, why don't you go first? Do you have a dose of drama?
Well, I guess I just have to say Bad Bunny's halftime show was amazing. Truly one of my favorites I've ever seen. It was exactly what we all needed. He's so hot. I loved all the little guest cameos. Gaga and Ricky Martin, hello. It was amazing. Absolutely loved it.
I
Could have
gasped.
predicted that? And her doing Bruno Mars's song that she is featured on in a Latin American remix. It was kind of literally, it was kind of insane.
She really put her whole heart into it, though. She was really thinking about the choreo. Yeah.
Oh, that was everything. The
She
whole
was very
thing.
conscientious. I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah,
I
it was great. It was great. I
agree,
love
Connor.
Bad Bunny. Yeah, I know, Dylan, I know you were gagged too. You're like, oh my
I'm a new
God.
stan for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, My Dose of Drama is a show that I'm loving right now. A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. It's in this Game of Thrones world. It's this new spinoff. I am obsessed with it, and it's giving me so much. It's like a cozy, nostalgic energy to it of like early Game of Thrones days, but there's also like comedy to it. And the main actor is this great Irish actor named Peter Claflin. He's absolutely fantastic. And I'm obsessed with it right now. It's a show where I actually can watch and keep my phone face down beside me and just not worry about that. So that's
Those
my litmus
are
test.
rare. Oh, that is wonderful. But I've been hearing a lot, and I've never watched a single episode of Game of Thrones. I think it was too scary when it came out to me as a kid. So now I have a lot of catch up, but I've been hearing a lot.
Yes, and to know that that's ahead of you one day, Justin, is so exciting. That's a gift.
Yes!
It's a beautiful journey.
I've been recently playing catch up. So one of my dose of dramas. I recently discovered books. You guys
Oh,
read books?
Connor
You're
doesn't,
joking.
but I try, I try.
I just read Normal People for the first time. I know I'm late.
Wow,
No.
that is a book for the ages.
Yes, have you read?
Oh
Yes,
yeah.
we love it. I have a poster of it on my in my hallway out there. It's
Oh
like one
my
of the
gosh.
best.
Yeah, reinvented my lens, redove into my attachment issues, being a better person to others and being more understanding. Amazing. I'm so late to everything, but this is a good like drama, like refresh, like get into it.
Yeah.
Watching Fleabag for the first time.
Also
These
fantastic.
are seminal works here. You're
Yes.
taking in. I love it.
Getting crazy.
Yes. Oh my God, it's incredible. And to think about Sally Rooney and also Phoebe Waller-Bridge, both of these auteurs as they are, the way they break form in interesting ways. Like Sally makes the brave choice to not use quotation marks, in her books.
So brave.
And Phoebe literally breaks the fourth wall by looking at the camera. They're both incredible geniuses.
Yes, very inspiring. Oh, also, I've been learning guitar recently. Encouraged by seeing Hadestown for the first time this summer. Amazing. Get into that drama.
Get
Amazing.
into
Jack
it.
Wolf in it right now. Really fun cast replacements. And Anais Mitchell, a wonderful musician. So those are my dramas.
They're all amazing.
Justin, we need you to play Orpheus once you learn the guitar.
Please, please. Falsetto. Falsetto King.
So you play tuba and guitar now?
Oh yeah, I'm just adding.
Yeah. Was
Oh
the
yeah.
was yours did you have that experience with tuba before, Kimberly?
I was a trumpet player.
Okay.
I had a little bit of a band nerd in me.
Did you march?
No, that's when
Okay.
it became too much.
Yeah. That is a lot. It's a lot. Wait, one last normal people question. Have you watched the TV version?
Not yet. It's on the list. It's coming. I want to kind of like forget a little bit so I can like get the gag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Because then
Oh
you
my
might be
God.
like, well, in the book, this was how it happened. You know what I mean? But I will say it's pretty faithful. So
Very
it's.
faithful. You have to let us know when you watch. We're both obsessed with normal people, just like we're obsessed with you, Justin. Thank you so much for joining us for this amazing episode of our podcast. Everybody's got to go see you in Spelling Bee at New World Stages through September at least, but I feel like it's just going to keep going. And they have to follow you on Instagram at justin.cooley.
Yes, please do. And thank you guys so much for having me. This was a wonderful time.
Yay, I'm so glad. While everyone is following Justin, they've got to follow us. We are at the Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I am at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Justin. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.
Drama!